Welcome to New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program, I pursue sort of what the lyrics of that song is talking about. How do we open our eyes to a greater reality? How we are all on a spiritual journey, whether we know it or not, and how do we awaken to a deeper level of who we really are? And that's what I'll be talking about. And she's an author, playwright, and she's also recently published this book called City of Secrets, which by Quest Publishing, which is about a whole opening of energy portals in, well, we'll get into that, in Spain. So, Patrice?
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. I mean, I didn't quite... The City of Secrets is sort of like your doorway into this whole realm in Girona, Spain, that is the keeper of the Grail legend, really. And can you describe what the Grail legend is for people who don't know that?
Well, the Grail legend... According to the Spanish, the Catalans, the Grail has phenomenal powers which would give a mortal, a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
That apparently it is out of reach of us because it's, you know, the idea is to be God, it would misuse it, probably would, and. As far as I know, that the general feeling was that the Grail would come to us when we were ready to receive it. Now, as far as I know also, I'm saying as far as I know because, I mean, I've been present at things, but I haven't experienced firsthand exactly what happened to the Grail. I don't think I'd be sitting here if I had, you know. But, apparently it is in another dimension.
Mm-hmm.
It is associated with a Magdalene, and the earthly vessel, which apparently was used at Jesus' last supper, has been in existence since before known time, really, and it is made up of the highest, most powerful material on the planet, and at the present moment apparently it looks like a dusty old tin because it's become powdered, you know, it's become like it's evolved into this high white powder.
Well, let's talk about this magical place though, I guess, Girona, Spain, and the significance of that place, and maybe I know in the City of Secrets you talk about just arriving there as a young girl with not knowing anything about it, but being really overwhelmed and charmed by the place. But talk a little bit about what's really going on or had gone on in Girona.
Well, it's always been the center of what we would call mysticism. It's a mystical city. The Phoenicians came there first, and then the Greeks came there, and the Romans certainly were there, and the cult of Isis was worshipped there, as was the sun god by the Mithra. They came with the Romans. They also had their own cult. Then the Jews were there, and they brought the Kabbalah to Girona. The Charlemagne certainly he had lots of experiences in that area, and he brought things as well. I mean, he had visions. So it could be, I mean, that's just a few. I mean, it could be said that it's a place where there's a lot of ley lines, energies, pulses, which bring certain, or allow certain events to happen, which could not happen elsewhere.
So the Earth's energy sort of pool there into a vortex of something that's a dimensional vortex in a sense, right?
Yes, that's right. That's right. In fact, there's more than one vortex in that city. There's more, I mean, there's two or three major pulse points there. And in those places, there's a connection with other realms, other places.
And so the Catalans and then the Kabbalists were able to tap into these area, this particular area, and work with the energy and then open up doorways inside oneself. I mean, you know, you've talked about the journey of the initiate in this place, and
Well, I get to later. That was in book two. Yeah, in book one, I didn't know about it. I only knew what I, to begin with, when I went there, you know, in the mid-50s, I was on it very much on the periphery of it. I only knew that there was not a secret, but a mystical society, a private society, they called themselves. And that it was, I thought it was political. I understood it was against Franco, that this was not the case. It was to protect what they had and had been looking after it many years, many hundreds of years. So, in sort of differently, say, to when the Chateau, it is, which kind of gives out a lot of mysticism and ideas and questions, so Girona keeps it in. They don't want to, they don't really want people to ask questions. They want to keep it, or have always been like that. Until now, you know, they want to keep it very quiet.
Is it
the other thing about it is, it's very old, you know. I mean, it's incredibly old. The walls are sort of 6,000 years old, part two. That's old, isn't it?
But is it time now? Are you part of this plan to bring out the secrets of Girona?
Well, I suppose in a way, in a modest way, I guess it kind of came round for me to do it because, one, I am not a Catalan. I'm not a native of Girona. So I've always gone back there because I love the place and I love one of the inhabitants, which makes it very, you know, kind of known that I'm sort of a part of it, but I'm not. It. You know, I'm not a Catalan member of a family. I don't have the ideas of the Catalans particularly. And also I've written a lot and things have been published about the place, about Girona. I've written several, I mean probably three or four books. One of them was filmed called Siesta. That was
What was it called?
Siesta. And I had a load of stars in it too. Marvin Gaye. No, Marvin Gaye, I'm not thinking that. Completely blank here. I'm a musician. He's going to love this.
That's okay.
Most wonderful music. He was wonderful. I mean, he's in the spirit world now. So, you know, I say Marvin Gaye, and he's not going to like me very much. He's, I think of him in a minute.
That's okay. It's not so much the name, I mean, but I'm interested in the secrets that are actually there if you want to reveal some, but maybe go ahead. But I was going to say, I'm also interested in your, you know, you went from a very, I guess literary type of, person with a kind of, maybe mainstream consciousness to opening up to this, to have this spiritual awakening.
Well, I think I was, the reason, you know, just finish, but the reason why I think they thought that I was good to do this was because I was an outsider, but I was also an insider. You know, I was sort of like, I obviously loved the plays. I'd written about it. I'd done a lot for the Jewish Center and been promoting that, you know, in America and in Israel and England. I've done a lot of documentaries about it, reportage, journalism, all that. So, in a way, it made me the probably the right person to do it. Because if one of them had done it, it would have seemed like betrayal.
Right.
And the society, just to finish with them, you see, have always been made up of sort of intellectual, successful, intellectually adventurous people, wealthy, erudite people, esteemed people, the Hapsburgs were involved in it, Jean Cocteau was involved, Salvador Dali, and before that, lots of people from the past who came from Europe, Northern Europe. They weren't all from Catalonia, probably because
right.
they didn't have them there. You know, it was very much a bureaucratic city, and before that, an agricultural place. So a lot of these people came from outside. It's absolutely sure that there were a lot of French involved with it. So they were the private society that held the material, which was used to some part used in the Cadillac that they did for until the expulsion in 1492. They'd been doing it, working on that since the early 1100s, so that gives it an idea of the timing there. So the society were always chosen. They were invited to join. And they had to hold these documents, ritual objects, artifacts, ways of transforming time and space. So they didn't want it falling into the hands of, you know, anybody else, although people had always been seeking it.
Wait, so when you hold these when you hold these artifacts, actually you feel the transformation of time and space, you actually do, huh?
No, no, you don't. They're used as part of the ritual. A ritual is performed by initiates. These are people have been initiated in it's not a Catholic, convent. It's a place, in very near Ripoll, which is in the mountains in the Pyrenees. It's very near there where most of them have become initiates, and they spent a lot of time there. It's not a quick process. And a lot of people saw it's Rosicrucian, but it apparently is not. It is not Rosicrucian. But it's not Catholic either. And it goes back into the distant past. I mean, ancient Egypt has been mentioned, but it is to do with actually transforming, so theosophical in some ways, and it's got a lot to do with that, I suppose. It transforms the present and allows you to pass into other realms and into active, vivid history that you have experienced in other lives than this one. So,
did you experience this?
I did, yes.
So you're an initiate now, and then.
I mean, I wouldn't say I was an initiate, no. I would say that I've been through the process. I mean, the thing is that I am, basically, I do channel psychic material. I've always had this ability to do that, and I suppose in a way it makes it easier, perhaps, to approach an experience like that. And I found that, I mean, I didn't have a clue what I was going to experience, but I found it changed my life, that there was no point having any of the usual breaks on that you'd have in life, the usual defenses. You had to let go of all control, and you had to trust. And on the process, you learned a lot. You touched a lot of places which exist that you could not know in the normal way. So it was a phenomenal and great experience. And I've done it three times.
And each time it changes your life in the sense that your view of reality is shifted. Is that what you mean?
The reality is less the reality that you return to is less important. It's not all there is.
Uh-huh.
It's more manageable in a way. It's a bit like when you come back, it's a bit like being in the waiting room. You've been somewhere that is the real place, now you're back.
Uh-huh.
That's all the feeling, you know?
So I
forget it. I mean, it's not like it doesn't change your life so you can kind of, well, in my case, it doesn't. I feel that I just go through without having feelings, traumas. You know, I mean, life is still life. It's there. It's going to be dealt with. And having been through three portal experiences doesn't actually help, you know, in the immediate life. Now, if I was an initiate,
We'll get to the portal experience in a second, but I'm also curious about how, like, you went from being a pretty normal, view of the world to, like, having this awakening into this whole other realm. What was that transition? You know, just even realizing there was this spiritual realm. Can you tell us that story about that awakening?
Well, I did that first with the Spaniard that I was with, Jose Torres, who's in that book, City of Secrets. He's also he's a member of the private society, and for a long time he was the custodian. It's always been in the hands of his family, for many years. They're involved in the church, they were the canons of the church, but they've always held the material. So, I mean, he's part of it deeply, you know. So I did go through the experience once with him, and I had no idea what I was going to go through.
How did he even tell you about it? You were pretty normal. You didn't expect any, you didn't even know there was a world like this out there, did you?
No, not like that. I had experienced a lot of meditative states, and I had, as I said again, the psychic side to me. I could read for him, and I could actually call, I could call up quite a lot from the past about the Jews, you know, so, the Kabbalists. So he didn't feel that I was a complete ingenue here. So he felt it was something that, he explained it in part, and this Russian who was involved in it too at that time, he was a musician and composer. He was incredible. I mean, he was far more daring than I was. I'm very, very cautious about this, I must say. And I found it very much like being on a fairground ride. I just slid and slipped and went through all these different things in my life that I recognized in this life, you know, quite unexpected things that made tremendous sense, actually, to my journey and to the point of the journey in this life. It was amazing, because I would never have chosen those moments at all, but they were so relevant to what I was doing and what had happened and what I had to forgive. And it took very little time. I was then into another place altogether, which was far more vivid, and it kind of then, it stopped, and I was there, I was in the place, and I could communicate with the people. Now, I was not no longer here in this time round. I was somewhere else, and I knew it was further back, but much more vivid. And it was a lot to do with the same experiences. Then it went further back, and it wasn't really to do with me. And then I was told how to return, how to come back. I was given the instructions by a high monthly initiate, I mean somebody who really knew what they were doing, how to come back, how to enter, how to come back. And in fact, you see, the thing for me was I thought I'd been gone for a long time, and when it turned out I came back, I'd been gone 5 minutes.
Wait, so you went through the, okay, so you did this, let's see if we can backtrack, you did this journey, and then you went through the portal,
It is,
right?
It is the portal is the journey. You go to the portal. I mean, you don't go through in your physical body. Your physical
uh-huh.
body remains sitting or sitting across legs or whatever position. It doesn't matter the position you choose. It means stand. And first of all, you have to have a resonance with the portal. If there's no resonance between you and the portal, it's just air in front of you. It's nothing. Also, it has to be opened either by your own endeavor, your own linking with it, or by some master who can, in my case it's happened, and can present the portal, can open the portal so it's there.
So you went with the high initiate, and she opened the portal for you.
Yes, I'm with Jose. And the experience was, I was out of control. I mean, the thing was, all control was immediately snatched. And we could go on the healthy skelter and fairground. I mean, you don't have much choice, do you? I mean, you're just gone, you know. It's the nearest thing I could say to how it was. And then there were people coming into it, a bit like in a dream, where there was a voice would suddenly say something to you that you would recognize. But it didn't have the kind of confusion of a dream. It had more clarity.
Uh-huh.
It made me realize there was an awful lot more around than I knew it could ever relate to, you know. And I thought that I can remember the experiences of going on that journey vividly. They're etched in my mind in a way that if it was a journey that I normally made in the usual way on the airplane, you know, I would have to really, you know, dig into my memory a bit here. I wouldn't get it exactly. It wouldn't be like an imprint. This is what's different about the portal journey is it's an imprint. It is an imprint of the happening. So it's instantly recallable.
An imprint? An imprint on your mind, you're saying?
Yes, yes.
And you said...
My mind. I'm saying my mind because that's a bit... I'm in touch with it. It might be deeper. I don't know.
But you're saying... But also on the portal journey, you have to... You told me early you have to go through 11 places in that area of Genoa that will... create
in Girona,
a resonance.
Girona, yeah. And you have to do 11 sites. Mm-hmm.
And
that's
starting, would you say Genoa is the opening into that journey? You have to start in Genoa, right?
No, Girona.
Girona, sorry, you have to start in Girona.
Otherwise,
you have to start in Girona. Girona, Spain.
And Girona, yeah.
That's
I do,
beginning.
Okay. Yeah, Girona is there are two key places. One is Girona and the other is the summit of Mount Canigou. So Mount Canigou is the sacred mountain of the Catalans. It's about just under 3,000 meters, which is 6,000 feet. It's very high. It's above the tree line, actually. The 11 sites are in Catalonia. They do include Ramon-le-Château, and they've been there since, certainly before the Jew wrote them down. They were there. They were recorded. The sites in... I've got mine up from, like, 1830. But there are the sites are recorded much earlier than that, so that they are supposed to go back even to a time before the fall, and before, you know, we were held by gravity. These sites were, because they are they're the reproduction on Earth of the constellation of the Great Bear and the Seven Stars. And in the old time, it's the old Great Bear. It's not the bear that subsequently is in the solar system.
Oh, because the stars have moved, you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Oh. So it's a different, it's an older version of what's there now. I mean,
well,
you see, I don't know, this is, this is where I'm as a writer, and I'm just, I mean, I don't know about astrology, for example. I don't know, I know it exists, I know what it, you know, sort of what it is, but I don't study it. So I don't know. I mean, I have to learn, be told, this is what this is what happened, and the journey always took place from the Great Bear and the Six Stars. And so
well,
they called it Treading the Six Stars. That's
if it's that
time.
Old, it must I mean, I don't know, but this, it takes, you know, thousands and thousands of years for stars to visibly look like they're in different places in the sky.
Yes, exactly.
So it's
But the sites were kind of there. The sites were, I mean, people weren't there. But
the land had its energy forms, you're saying.
It was sort of before we were as we are. That's where I'm told.
Uh-huh.
That's the, it is, they are doorways, 11 doorways. And only going to experience them if you do the attunement, the focusing, the purification. You have to go through a lot of stuff yourself to be able to resonate with the end result, the end portal, the portal on that kind of thing. You can't do it otherwise. If you're not able to reach that level, you can do meditation there, you can do other spiritual exercises there, and you can do it again, you see. It's a very prudent process. I mean, the person who took me through it, I stopped on the first time I went. I only did half of it because it was too much. But it was literally turning myself inside out, and there were no secrets, and you couldn't hold on to anything that you may think you should, you know, you didn't want to talk about. It was, there was a psychic baptism where you had to write letters to the people who had most wounded you or upset you in your life, short letters, mm-hmm. and they had to be burned, flushed down with cold water.
You're saying you have to clear your emotional body. You have to clear your psyche. You have to clear anything
yeah.
that's in the way of you opening up to this higher level.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you really then sort of entered the grail itself. I mean, maybe holy blood, holy grail is really about going into this place in this land that transforms who you are. That's truly, you know, the holy blood, holy grail of
I think
soul.
what you can do if you're a high initiate, you know, which I'm not yet, hopefully
yeah.
one time, you can, you know, have a relationship, you can have a resonance with beings which are, you know, beyond our knowledge, beyond
our dimensional perception.
Yeah. And so that can be extremely beneficial and useful to our existence here. It can bring a lot of development here. You see, the other thing is that most of the people that have tried to get on the trail of this have always been people who've wanted power for themselves, and they've wanted to uncover things which would be useful to them or their pain masters. You see, the records I have seen, in part, the main one is the Catalan poet Jacinto Verdigo. He was a priest and poet, and he was extremely popular in Catalonia. And then after this journey, he became definitely opened up as a psychic, and he did exorcisms and was thrown out of the church. But on his death, he had the biggest funeral of anyone ever, with the living Valentino's. Now, he did, his records of the journey, you wouldn't go alone, you'd go with a guide, with a physical guide who, you know, he's initiated. And the other person who went was Jose Perez went, he went in the 50s. The other one was Saunier, Berenger Saunier from Neuchâtel. He went.
Mm-hmm.
He went with the Mossen, which is the priest, and the priest from Saint-Sévier de Chaux. His name was Dila, V-I-L-A. And so there's quite a lot of stuff about how he worked through the process of doing that journey. And the other was a law student from Paris who discovered this material in an old bookshop in Paris, which is written about in the City of Secrets. And
well, wasn't there a painter who pointed the way from René Château Poisson?
Poussin. Well, he...
the French painter.
Poussin, yeah. Nicolas Poussin. He understood that we were looking at a portal here. And some people have now discovered that is what that's what it's about. It's about the portal. And
so you're saying it's not for people who want power, but what is the point, I mean, of being an initiate?
I think now, because the thing about the society, you know, when I think I've been around it, there's been a lot of, prior to, you know, this century or the last century, prior to that, they would, you know, there was a kind of uniform idea that nobody said anything, it was held in great secrecy, etc. And from it came the Freemasonry and all kinds of stuff, you know. But after that came the century, which, you know, 1980, around that time, 1991, they were getting old. The custodians are getting old, and they all wanted different end results, outcomes for the material, for the documentation, for the artifacts, for the ritual book, which explains actually how the ritual is performed. You know, I mean, all of these things are held in great privacy, and suddenly these people getting old, and they all kind of got this ego as they approach death, and some of them wanted to all go back. They wanted to go to the Vatican, and others wanted it to be buried forever, and then a few wanted it to be released to the world in general, for the benefit of human beings. And the reason it hadn't been was because they felt that the world was not an optimistic enough place, wasn't evolved enough in any way, it would be a mistake. But they realized that as they came on into their 80s or whatever, that the world wasn't probably going to get much better, so they might as well release it.
And
so
that's where we are now.
Here we have a whole position of interest.
And I think the world is actually changing its vibration and coming to a place where we are ready to receive this and actually benefit from the level of vibration that these portals and doorways open up people to. I think it's time.
That's what the higher initiates believe, yes, that, you know, the people, more or less what they say, as I understand it, is people have to change or, you know, it's a good idea if they change, because otherwise what's coming could be, you know, less beneficial than they might think, you know. So in a way, the emphasis is on trying and going towards this evolvement and to drop the ego and the materialism and the kind of the sidetracking issues that have been around us for quite a long time, I guess. And certainly since the industrial age, you know?
Yeah, is this the only place on Earth that these kind of doorways exist, or did they
No.
Where else are they?
Definitely not. Yeah, I mean, I know a Romanian scientist who's been working on this portals, whole chain of them in the Pyrenees since the book City of Secrets came out. You know, he's been there. And he said that the portals existed always in old times and, you know, going back into, you know, pre-medieval times, that people used to go to these gaps he called it gaps in the atmosphere of the planet. And they would go there because it gave great energy. So it's a bit like we would go to a health spa. They would go to these energies. And some of them were good and some weren't.
Right.
And
right.
So they stayed in the area of this energy and it made them feel well.
Right.
So
I think
Sedona,
Arizona has these vortexes.
Yes, exactly. So I'm told, yes.
But
I've never been there, but I'm told, the
Earth is assisting us in our spiritual evolution, it seems. This is part of this thing.
Yeah.
That's happening. But there's something, something that's held in secret for so long. There might be a very special energy to the Girona kind of portal.
Well, because the in Girona, the Grail, just to go back to the Grail, Grail is brought through a ritual experience. It actually appears.
People actually see this dimensional.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. So it's a vision and it's an apparition. So what happened? It's been going for years that they have the rituals and they call up, they call it La Donna con la Coppa, the woman with the cup. So they call up La Donna con la Coppa and what she does, what she gives is tremendous healing and a kind of a spiritual serenity to all those in the vicinity, which is unlike anything they've ever experienced. And a sort of perfume exudes around that area, which is unlike anything anyone's ever experienced.
It sounds like other apparitions of the Virgin Mary, which I think are true apparitions, where she appears and you smell the roses in the air, and people see this and have amazing healings.
Because there are three places where along that area, along the Pyrenees area, there's a scientific reason why also that it's so importantly there. I mean, scientists are more working on it than writers, you know, they're like physicists are working on it, quantum physicists are working on this material. Now, the Lourdes is another one, Bernadette Soubrot had the same experience. But it was unlikely to be the Magdalene. They said it was the Virgin Mary. And, of course, healing took place there and still does today. And that one what made it important was that the portal was in the center of two energy points, which were marked by two towers. So in Girona and Rama Chateau, there were two towers that the priest, Sir Saunier, Berenger Saunier, it's all the kind of material is about, you know, the Holy Blood and the Holy Grail, it's all about him and what was he doing and where did he get all the money from? Well, he got it from the Habsburgs, supposedly. Now, he had to copy the tower that was in Girona. There was a tower built in 1851. By the private society, which would energize the portal on the top of Canigou, which is a few, you know, miles down the road. I mean, it's in the middle between Rennes Chateau and the French side and Girona and the Spanish side. And so he had to create a portal in Rennes Chateau. Now, he was never able to open a portal there, as far as anyone knows, but he did produce this tower which reflected directly to Girona, and in the middle was the portal on Canigou. Now, the same thing occurred with Lourdes in France, where from San Juan de la Peña to Lourdes, in the center point, in the mountains, just like in Girona to Rennes Chateau, there is a portal there. And to the mysterious or, you know, apparitions and kind of existences happened in Lourdes, and then it became what it is today. Now, that is not the case in Girona, you know, that there isn't a great whole a well-being and restoration, spiritual and physical, in that place. That's not what they've gone in for at all. But there have been, it's certainly known that when the apparition appears, the lady with the carp, that the well-being of the people is noticeable and recordable. But the church, you see, won't allow it to be recorded as a miracle. They will not allow people to say that they've had the experience. They've actually, the last apparition was in 1976 on February the 4th. And, hundreds of people saw this apparition of the woman with the cup. And it was so still, you hear a pin drop, and they all rushed to this place. And it was there, I think, for an hour. It was there for quite a while, and then faded. It was actually present, the apparition. And there was a mark on the ground afterwards. And the several women decided to put a shrine to the Magdalene.
Mm-hmm.
And they made the shrine, and it was destroyed. And the church built another one there, where they said that she'd seen Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And said she hadn't, and they've written there, the shrine is there, the testament is on the shrine. It says, there, these people saw the appearance of our Lord, and there's the footprint of Jesus. Now, why did they change it? She was taken away because this woman in particular would not relinquish the truth, and so she was put in the bin. She was in the mental hospital, and they found room for her, she was there. And they tried to get her to change her story, and she won't do it. So you see that for some reason that, the Catalan, powers to be, or the authorities, the church, and the politics, everything, they don't want this. And they certainly change their own people's stories.
Well, the church doesn't want to lose control, and people are having their own experiences. That means they can't be dictated to by a religious authority. So it gets political. But I'm not so interested in that. I'm interested in the journey, because I think the old religions are losing their grip on people, and I think places like this and this whole doorways that you mentioned are part of the change that people can go through to realize their own power. Do you know what I mean? That's why your work is so important in bringing this out. And I would love to go there to Girona with you and take the journey of the initiate.
Exactly. Well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to get that one on the way.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited about that. So is there any, this is sort of an introductory talk, and we'll do more of these in the next couple of months. But is there anything else that you think people should know about, the City of Secrets in particular, and just as a foundation? Well, maybe just to say that this place was buried, the temple, the synagogue there was actually buried at the Inquisition, and wasn't dug up till recently, and probably was buried on purpose to hide these secrets, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was closed by order of the church, and nobody even knew it was there. All they saw was the stone wall. But Jose Carrasco opened it up. He certainly knew it was there. And
they knew it was there because the secret was kept in the family. That's how they knew it was there. It was handed down generation to generation.
Very largely by his family and his ancestors, and Jacinta Verdigo, the poet. But the thing I would say about it is that I can understand why they would keep this material quiet, because it was absolutely in opposition to the thinking of the Catholic Church. It was not in any way going along with their beliefs and theory. It would be heresy. I guess today one can sort of talk about it, but I think, a couple of hundred years ago, we'd be putting aside, wouldn't they? I mean, we'd be gone. I mean, we would be heretics. We'd be gone.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing, it's clear why it has to be kept quiet, you know, that's for sure. But there were so many priests around it, too. I mean, there were so many who actually held the material. That's strange in itself, that there are
mm-hmm.
Catholic priests holding this material. And one of them even being on the, taking the journey, one of the most popular and well-known priests of all time, Justin Verdigate, has written an epic poem about the experience called Canigou. That, you know, he should have even been involved in it. It's quite extraordinary. And the, I mean, whether it was Rosicrucian, I don't think so. I mean, I'm told it isn't. And Rosicrucians weren't allowed in Spain, anyway. The nearest they were, I think, was in Narbonne, in the south of France. It comes, the Templars come into it largely too. I mean, because one of the key sites is a...
And the Majurian, what were the Cathars, right? Aren't they part of that?
The Cathars, I don't, I'm not aware of them being involved in it, but one of the society members is a very illustrious, well-known painter in Catalonia, and he worked a lot with Salvador Dali. Salvador Dali was part of the group, and if you can see in the City of Secrets the painting he did of the two towers and these two figures flying towards each other out of the towers. And I think too, the last thing I would say about just, you know, about folklore is that a lot of them are not good. They hold bad material of the area. So it's not a sort of thing that it's good to do without protection, without a lot of spiritual protection, and you should be always with a guide. I mean, it's not something you should ever do alone. And I think it's important too that you do the work beforehand, and spend, you know, a considerable time to be right to do it, to have the experience. I mean, it could be a dangerous one. I mean, there's
right.
another reason why it's probably been held aside from us, you know. The other thing, some portals are so powerful that we would be kind of sizzled up at the minute we set foot. Now, they're protected, apparently, by very negative energies around them. So when people go to that place, their sensation of it is, their sense of it is, oh, I don't like this, and I don't feel very well here, this doesn't suit me, I won't come here again. So that protects what is inside, which is a magnificent and incredibly powerful portal, which was not something that we in general...
Oh, so people get turned off because they're not ready to go deeper into the energies. Is that what's
happening? Exactly.
Happened?
That's right.
Oh, because I felt weird in places and I have wanted to get away, but maybe staying with it and breaking through, if you're ready, opens up to even more energy.
That may be. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's so fortunate that there's still these high initiates alive today that can take people there. Isn't that great?
Well, there's more, probably more now than before. And I gather there are more of them because they are doing it themselves. And
right.
they're willing to share it. Whereas, in the time that I wrote the book about, mainly this new book, the journey that I used a lot of the records, there were very few guides, very few initiates who would do the journey with the new ones who were becoming part of the society. I mean, you couldn't become part of the society unless you'd done the initiate's journey. So
uh-huh.
that was one of the tests, I think, probably the test of whether you could be in there at all if you had to do it. And it's not a comfortable journey to begin with. It's got some surprises. I mean, for example, if you go to a site, there's one of the sites, and it's called Acceptance, and I always thought Acceptance was kind of a good thing. I thought,
right.
oh, good, I get there, that's going to be all right. Not at all. You know, Acceptance, you're accepting, you don't know what you're accepting, and it isn't necessarily something you want. So... There's a lot of, it's very, very well done, the way it works you through the process. So
well,
that you
this
come
is,
out and you come out with a sense of well-being that it does enough, you know,
yeah.
you, it's a wonderful thing, and you come up with not one physical sort of object, you know, in your hands. You just come out with all this experience, and that's what's so marvelous about it.
That sounds very exciting, Patrice. So your next book is this book that will describe this journey will be published by Quest Books, and it's really the journey of this initiation, really. And
yeah.
When do you think that book might be published?
In the spring. That's coming out in the spring. City of Secrets is available now.
Yeah.
They have it, you know. You've got Soshi sort of giving you the
details. City, people can find it at Quest Books. City of Secrets is really the beginning of Patrice's understanding of the Grail legend and the power of Girona and the whole Kabbalistic tradition of the Catalans, who you say actually have a lot of Jewish blood in them, although they probably would deny it publicly, right?
That's right, yeah. They didn't even know they had it till now.
You know, this is so fascinating that there's this mystery right in front of us that's accessible in a way, and this is exactly the reason I do this program, is to discover these mysteries and pursue them. Well, thank you. You have a website, patricechaplin.com, right? That's your website? And, well, thank you so much for taking the time to go into this. Powerful.
Thank you, Alan. Yeah. Well, we've touched the surface here, haven't we? We've got going on it a bit here. It's a big subject, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I'm going to finish reading all the material, maybe read some of the next manuscript, and then we'll go into more questions about these places and these...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be very exciting to do, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to going on this journey into my own initiation.
Yes. That's what you're going to do.
That's what we're going to do, yeah.
Thank
you.
Will.
So I've been talking to Patrice Chaplin, and she's the author of City of Secrets and some upcoming books at Quest Books Publishing. And, yes, you can find her at PatriceChaplin.com. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities, and if you want to reach me, email me at newrealities@earthlink.net, and also check my website, newrealities.com. Thank you for listening.
That's good.